It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Dominance in Florida. Disappointment across the nation for Republicans as a red wave turns into, at best, a red ripple, and the nation prepares for Trump versus DeSantis. It's the Will Cain Podcast on Fox News Podcast. What's up? And welcome to Wednesday. Welcome to the day after the 2022 midterms. As always, I hope you will download, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your audio entertainment, at Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast. You can watch the Will Cain Podcast on YouTube or Rumble. I am recording this podcast at roughly 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday night. Election results have begun to come in. There are some takeaways, but they are incomplete. As you listen to this podcast on Wednesday morning, it's possible that you already know more than I do in this moment. So as we walk through my 4 takeaways from the 2022 midterms, grant me the grace, if you will, and give me the caveat that some of this perhaps can change. And later this week on Friday, right here on the Will Cain Podcast, we'll go deeper into what this means for the United States of America. But first, number one. Absolute dominance in Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis beat challenger Charlie Crist by 20 points in the gubernatorial race for Florida. Senator Marco Rubio similarly won by a big margin over his Democratic challenger, Val Demings. All across the state, Republicans won and won big in Florida. I woke up on Tuesday morning, 3 a.m. Central Time, 4 a.m. Eastern Time, in Satellite Beach, Florida. It's an hour outside of Orlando, on the Atlantic coast. A tropical storm was brewing, literally, not metaphorically, a tropical storm was brewing off the coast. Although it was dark by the time I got to the Morning Glory Diner for Fox and Friends, you could feel it. The wind was blowing. I could see, even in the moonlight, which happened to be blood red moonlight that night, I could see the waves crashing up on the shore. And not to get too cute, that was quickly mirrored by the sentiment of Floridians that were lined up as though I were getting ready to do First Take in Oakland. I'll never forget that. Golden State Warriors, Cleveland Cavaliers, NBA Finals. First Take begins at 7 a.m. Pacific time. People lined up 4:30 a.m. getting high, getting ready to have fun, watching a sports debate. Folks weren't high on anything but enthusiasm in Florida, as they were similarly lined up at 4:30 a.m. to come into the Morning Glory Diner. And I'm telling you, by 6 a.m., the place was absolutely packed. And the enthusiasm was through the roof. It's always difficult. It's a real challenge to put your self-awareness in check when you're airdropped into these moments of big enthusiasm. I don't know if anybody listening has ever been to a Trump rally, but it's unlike anything you've ever experienced in politics. I mean, literally, I don't know. I don't care. Maybe you've been to CPAC. Maybe, you know, you've been to some type of big political convention. It's not the same. I've been to the Republican National Convention. I've been to the Democratic National Convention. It's nothing like the fandom at a Trump rally. I saw something similar, if on a smaller scale, on Tuesday morning in Florida. DeSantis posters everywhere. DeSantis hats, DeSantis shirts, DeSantis enthusiasm. And as I spent that morning talking to diners in Florida, what was just so absolutely clear is that these were people who had experienced, you know, we talk so much about quality of life issues, crime, inflation. These were people who had experienced the benefit of quality leadership. I mean, I heard people talking, hey, Will, there was a bridge out on Sanibel Island from the hurricane. He fixed the bridge in 3 weeks, and it wasn't even a state-funded bridge. They were talking about somebody who stepped in and just led, and their lives had benefited for that leadership. Most notably, obviously, through COVID, their lives were not shut down. They were not forced to mask. They were not forced to vax. And they were also appreciative. And again, putting your self-awareness into check, you say, these are Fox super fans. These are registered Republicans. But I have a lot of friends in Florida, and these aren't Republicans. In fact, many of these friends that I'm imagining, not creating out of thin air, but visualizing in my mind, were lifelong Democrats who said, listen, you know, you and I, we can disagree about abortion, but I love DeSantis because he saved my small business. I love DeSantis because I got to live my life. I love DeSantis because I got to remain free. That enthusiasm was real. There was no need to put that self-awareness into check. It was shown throughout the night. DeSantis dominated and dominated quickly. He dominated, as did Marco Rubio and other Republicans, but DeSantis in particular dominated in places and with people that Republicans had not. Everyone's pointing to Miami-Dade County. Republicans hadn't won Miami-Dade County in 20 years. DeSantis lost Miami-Dade County 4 years ago. He won it by 9 points. This year, Marco Rubio won it by 8 points. Miami-Dade County, 70% Latino. 70% Latino. If Republicans start changing the minority vote, this is an earthquake in the political landscape. I saw some early exit polling yesterday during the day saying that in many of these races across the country, Republicans would outperform with black voters, maybe even doubling up what Trump did 2 years ago. And if that's the case, you start to think about the critical threshold, right? Let's take the black vote. The black vote has been almost 90% devoted to the Democratic Party. Now, you know, and we've talked about, and it has to be acknowledged, whenever there's a constituency that's devoted to the extent of 90%, I mean, think about what that means. Well, A, it means you can't think for yourself. And if you do, you know what happens. You're called an Uncle Tom. You're called a sellout. That's a lot of cultural and peer pressure on one, really, honestly, to divide their individual thought. But if there's cracks, and it goes down to even 85%, you start to wonder, when does the peer pressure dissipate? When does the groupthink stop having its influence, its controlling pressure on the individual? If it gets to a place where Republicans like Ron DeSantis in Miami-Dade County can win and win big with Latinos, or even commandeer some significant percentage, 20, 25, 30% of the black vote, which would be a massive move. I acknowledge that we're nowhere near that in this moment. But my point is, there is a critical threshold where there's cracks in the wall and you're allowed once again to be an individual. And that changes the political landscape. What we're looking at in Florida is absolute dominance. And before we move on from Florida, let us point out one more song that we should sing for the praises of Florida. And that is how quickly their vote was done and came in. Obviously, you know the travesty, the mess of 2000, of Bush v. Gore. Florida fixed their voting system, and Florida was done, and done early last night. Remember that as we watch Pennsylvania and Georgia limp across the finish line. We saw yesterday some reports already, somewhere between 20 and 30% of electronic voting machines in Arizona, specifically in Maricopa County, had failed and made it difficult for people to vote and then to eventually get those votes cast. It is 2022. We should be able to process and calculate votes in this country. And while we're at it, it should be something that's still a civic virtue and a civic requirement, I think, to show up and vote in person. This mail-in balloting is stringing out our elections, not even over days, but through weeks and sometimes months. We don't have election month. We don't have election weeks. We have election day. There's a reason that not many countries around the world accept mail-in balloting. Is the envelope signed? Is the ballot signed? Is it sealed correctly? This is everything that's going to go down in Pennsylvania. It's because it is not easily verifiable. And then whether or not it has been manipulated, it without a doubt breeds mistrust, distrust among the electorate. These were COVID measures put into place that were emergency measures that did not need to be retained. It's not a cultural mode that we needed to adopt, that everyone out there should vote by mail over weeks and extended periods of time. If you need to and you can't get to a poll, we've always had that process. But it still should be a civic responsibility and a civic virtue to show up. You know, if you care, then you can show up. I think educated voters, by the way, are virtuous voters. I don't get down with MTV's Rock the Vote as though every single person, you know, is a virtue at the ballot box. And if you say that you think that they are, please, please, you probably think I shouldn't vote because you don't like my opinion or I'm too uneducated. Look, we all believe that somebody doesn't know enough or is too stupid to vote. We all know that. You may be related to people that you feel that way about. That doesn't mean we take away their vote. We don't have literacy tests. But you know what we should? If you don't have the civic responsibility to show up and vote, why would you have the civic responsibility to educate yourself on your vote? There are some things we can still do as a community. There are some things we can still do as a country, and we can still show up. At a minimum, we can still show up. We can vote on not election month, not election week, but we can vote on election day.
Don't go anywhere. More of the Will Cain podcast right after this.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Number two, if it was dominance in Florida, it was disappointment across the nation. As of late Tuesday night, it does not look like a red wave will manifest. It looks like, at best, a red ripple. The GOP taking, yes, the majority in the House, but not by the margins that were expected. And the GOP fighting for a potential majority in the Senate. Here are your swing states as they stand tonight. And as you're listening to this on Wednesday morning, you may have advanced knowledge, but it might not take away or change our takeaway. But we'll always leave that potentiality because the point is to be right, not certain. And on the way to being right, let's take a look at where we are in the country. New Hampshire has been called. That was a potential race that Republicans thought they could take. Maggie Hassan beat General Don Baldock by a sizable margin. In New Hampshire. More on New Hampshire in just a moment when we get to our takeaway. J.D. Vance has won Republican in Ohio over Tim Ryan. As I speak to you tonight, we do not yet know what will happen in Pennsylvania. Most prognosticators seem to think this is headed in the way of John Fetterman, not Dr. Mehmet Oz. If that's the case, obviously, a win for Democrats. It's too early out west to know what's going to happen as of this hour in Arizona and certainly in Nevada. We do have early results in Arizona, and it does appear that Blake Masters is trailing Mark Kelly, but it's entirely too early to know. If you look at some of these races, like Georgia, which is also down to the wire. Again, at this hour, that one is literally, essentially tied between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock. But if you look at some of these races, you begin to see a divide that was laid out for us here on the Will Cain podcast on Monday in a conversation that, look, many didn't want to hear, but what we have to analyze is whether or not his prognostication was accurate. Karl Rove told us that he believed, this is my adjective and my description, establishment Republican picks, establishment Republican candidates would outperform Trump-backed Republican candidates. And as evidence, he told us, had you not put Blake Masters forward, if you had put, for example, former Governor Doug Ducey forward in Arizona, you'd win. If you'd put a Republican establishment forward in New Hampshire instead of Baldock, you'd win. And as evidence, here's what Rove offered. Watch the governor's races. In New Hampshire, to Rove's point, Chris Sununu won while Baldock lost. Sununu, an establishment pick Republican gubernatorial candidate, won where the Trump-backed senatorial candidate in Baldock lost. Similarly, in Georgia, while Herschel Walker is down to the wire, Trump-backed Herschel Walker is down to the wire with Raphael Warnock, more establishment supported Governor Brian Kemp won. And even he said in Ohio, look at the difference between the margin of victory for J.D. Vance and Governor Mike DeWine. I don't have those numbers at this hour, but his point is taken. As I thought about that conversation with Rove after the fact, I said to myself, okay, his job is to win. My job is to tell you what I think is best for the country. What I think is best for the country, my opinion and my editorialization, is to find people who will fight for the country, find people who believe, find people who I believe are principled, and find people who, in my estimation, have adopted something that I would, and many others, describe as the new right. I'm not interested in an establishment candidate that can just win if all I get out of that is the same type of establishment politics I've gotten over the last 20 to 50 years. It interests me that J.D. Vance wants to have some evidence and a conversation about continuing war between Ukraine and Russia and not just sign blank checks. It interests me that Blake Masters will help Kerry Lake and support Kerry Lake and declare an invasion on the border to stop illegal immigration. It interests me that candidates are more attuned to the American middle class as voice to them through the increasingly loud voice of populism. And if those candidates could win by 1 point, one margin versus five, well, I don't care, Carl. I want what's right. I don't care how big I win. But I have to acknowledge as well what happens if you lose. Because if you lose, you give that blank check to Joe Biden. You give that blank check to Chuck Schumer. I think what we have to acknowledge at this moment is the Trump-backed candidates that we anticipated would be part of this red wave did not perform up to expectations. It's not across the board. J.D. Vance was a Trump-backed candidate for Senate in Ohio. But many others are sitting in precarious situations as we talk this morning. What was such a big win for Ron DeSantis looks like a night of disappointment for Donald Trump. Now, what is the takeaway? Well, the takeaway is, as I sat in that diner in Florida, I began to just poll the public. Hey, what happens? What do you think if it's DeSantis versus Trump? Hey, what do you think? Who would you go for? Now, I was in Florida. And like I said at the outset, these are people that love Ron DeSantis, whose lives have benefited under the leadership of Ron DeSantis. And this is just anecdotal. 9 out of 10 said DeSantis. If you look at these returns, you have to ask, is the country ready to move on in a general election? And again, not unanimously.
is the country ready to move on from Donald Trump?
That's not my opinion. That's not what I support. I don't know yet what I think for 2024. I know that I like the policies of Donald Trump. I know that I like the populism of Donald Trump. I know that I like a lot of the candidates backed by Donald Trump. I hope Carrie Lake pulls it out in Arizona. I think that she will. I hope Blake Masters pulls it out in Arizona. I'm glad J.D. Vance pulls it out in Ohio. And I think that Ron DeSantis represents the policies as led under the previous 4 years of Donald Trump. But I also have to look at the rest of the country and say, what is their appetite for 4 more years of Donald Trump? And last night was another piece of evidence in answering that potential question.
Don't go anywhere. More of the Will Cain podcast right after this.
Number three, celebrity candidates just needed one more profile, one more Vanity Fair, one more New York Times, one more Washington Post profile, and maybe they wouldn't lose again and again and again and again. Beto O'Rourke and Stacey Abrams, celebrity losers, lost once again. Stacey Abrams lost for the second time, or is it that she declares victory for the second time, in her race for governor in Georgia? Beto O'Rourke has lost the third time, well, for relevance in the United States of America, most specifically in Texas. O'Rourke lost his race for governor in Texas to Greg Abbott by a sizable margin. This is after losing a presidential campaign and also losing a challenge to Senator Ted Cruz in Texas. What's next for Beto? What's he run for? He's not going to run for the door. He's going to run for continued relevance, as will Stacey Abrams. And it does say something about the Democratic Party that their biggest celebrities are serial losers. Now, listen, you got to call it the way it is. And you got to say, if, as I talked to you again late Tuesday night, shapes up the way it looks on Wednesday morning, Democrats are going to feel good that they didn't take as big a L as they thought. And that's really quite a statement, because the last couple of years are remarkable. The fact that we've had this kind of record inflation, this kind of record crime, that the border is this kind of record crisis, and it isn't, perhaps, a red wave, is really a statement. It's really something for everyone to analyze. And for Democrats, what they're going to come away with is more. I mean, they're not going to look in the mirror. There's going to be no soul searching. They're not going to wonder what they could have done better or different. You're going to get more. You're going to get more inflation. You're going to get more open borders. You're going to get more embrace of crime. You're going to get more. And you're probably going to get more Stacey Abrams and more Robert Francis O'Rourke. You're going to get more. I mean, it's not, again, I have to keep saying this because to acknowledge I'm recording this on Tuesday night, and this election will not only not end on Wednesday morning, it will drag throughout the week. And if Georgia goes to a runoff, it will drag into the new year. But you need a undeniable failure to change the Titanic as it's headed for the iceberg. And in my estimation, Democrats have embraced unpopular ideas trending on Twitter and used unpopular candidates to sell the American public. And they were not met, again, at this hour, with remarkable failure. So my takeaway on that is they have not or will not learn the lesson. They will continue to double down, triple down on crackerjack box virtue signaling that they pick up off of Twitter unless they leave Twitter, which they're not going to leave Twitter because of Elon Musk. They are incredibly, in my estimation, out of touch with the electorate. But this isn't a big enough price to pay to reconsider the error of their ways. And so as we go into 2024, we will probably continue to have similar conversations about gender identity and the woke education of our children. And the question for the American public will be where we begin this conversation and we will be looking at here in the next couple of weeks. And that is, will we as a country address these issues head on, or will our politics be defined, quite honestly, by Donald Trump?
That's not a value estimation. You and I both know there's been nothing. In the last episode of the Will Came podcast, you heard it in my conversation with Juan Williams. There was nothing, nothing in the political minds of the Democratic Party outside of the two words reverberating between their ears, Donald Trump. Obsession by Calvin Klein, but this time by Donald Trump. And the question will be, for those independents and for everybody else, is that what we will have? Another national election about Donald Trump, or maybe even with Donald Trump? We can focus on these terrible ideas forwarded by terrible candidates, unpopular ideas forwarded by unpopular celebrity candidates. It was a disappointment last night for Republicans across the nation. It was dominance in Florida. We'll dive deeper as the results are called and become certain. And as we can dive into the exit polling about who voted what way and why. I'll talk to you again a little bit later this week on the Will Cain Podcast. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcast and Amazon Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
I'm Guy Benson. Join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.